This is the Beautiful Feet Podcast, a partnership with BeautifulFeetEntertainment.com. Follow us on social media at Beautiful Feet Entertainment and enjoy the show. Welcome to the Beautiful Feet Podcast. My name is Anthony.
And I'm Jessica.
And last week we talked about tithing, right?
Yes, and we did.
We talked about tithing and how we should be doing that, but like generously and like what that looks like. So this week we're doing something slightly different. We're kind of combining Beautiful Feet investing with faith, right?
Yes. So I felt that it would, pardon me, I felt that it would be a good idea for us to have a hybrid episode. Just because, honestly, I wasn't sure if we could get a full episode for each podcast out of the topic that I had picked for the week.
Yeah. So what we're doing is we're going to go ahead, we'll do the Beautiful Feet portion, and then we'll go ahead and do like a commercial break with Wrestling with Faith afterwards, right?
And for those of you who've listened to the podcast for quite some time, you might recall that was really the format that we used for Beautiful Feet podcasts. Would be like we might have a movie review or some more secular type of material to record on commercial break, and then a more scriptural based, usually a chapter of a book in the Bible that we were reviewing. So it's like dusting off that old format for this week's episode.
Absolutely. This week we're going to go ahead and start with the idea of fasting in the Bible. So we're almost starting it with Bible first and then everything else, right?
Yes, exactly.
So this was your kind of topic of discussion. What was your way of tackling this subject?
So I really thought that this would be an interesting viewpoint because, again, we've been trying to dovetail our topics between the Beautiful Feet podcast and the Wrestling with Faith podcast. So for after the commercial break, we'll be looking at diet in professional wrestling. But for this portion, I want to clarify that fasting is not necessarily just giving up food, although I feel like that is the common definition that we think of when we think about what it means to fast.
Yeah, often you could fast from activities, you could fast from favorite hobbies for a portion of time and dedicate that time to having a deeper relationship with God.
Well, and in the church year, obviously, Easter is one of the bigger, if not biggest, holidays that Christianity has. But before Easter, there's a period of time that's known as Lent. And it starts off with Mardi Gras, which is Fat Tuesday, which is like the last opportunity that you have to party it up. Because Ash Wednesday is the next day, and it's the beginning of a 40-day period of quiet and somber reflection over the life of Christ and their ministry to prepare us for their sacrifice on the cross. Mm-hmm. And a common feature of the Lenten journey is to pick something that you are going to fast from. And for some people, it could be like, oh, I'm giving up chocolate. But for other people, instead of giving up something, they take on something else. They might volunteer in their community. They're going to be choosing aspects of their time where previously they might have done another activity, but now, because of this special moment in the church calendar, they are choosing to focus their time, attention, and energy on something that will bring them closer to God.
Yeah, so I know in my experience, I've fasted from foods, I've fasted from music, I have fasted from mostly auditory, like TV shows, things like that. And it's always in like, hey, I'm gonna use that time that I would normally watch movies or listen to music or whatnot, as a way of okay, I'm gonna spend this time in prayer, or I'm gonna be writing or doing something creative that brings me closer to God.
Well, and it's also important to note that the concept of fasting is not unique to Christianity, but then in the Muslim community, for the month of Ramadan, they also fast from their food during the daytime, and then they are able to break their fast after the sun goes down. And again, this time and that the month of Ramadan is a time where they are spending more time getting, like, it's like time with your family and also time to go to worship and to be in close connection and community with God. Like, that is, it's a time for them to reflect on the pillars of their faith. And yeah, so it's not like Christianity has a monopoly on this concept of fasting.
Well, one thing I've always liked about it, I think one of the biggest misconceptions is this idea that, like, you're not allowed to eat for that entire period of time, right? So I know certain churches I've been involved with, like, at the beginning of the year, they'll do a month-long fast. And I think one of the biggest misconceptions is, like, oh, so you're not allowed to eat for that entire month. I know you were talking about, was it the Islamic faith, right? Where they take a break during the day, but they're able to eat once the sun goes down or something, you know.
That is literally what I just said.
Yeah, I'm just, okay. Yeah. But yeah, so it's the idea that, like, yeah, you're able to fast from certain things at certain times. And I've always liked that idea because, one, it breaks down that, like, oh, you're not allowed to eat. I still am able to eat. I'm just choosing not to eat certain delicacies or certain things for a greater purpose, for a greater understanding of yourself, greater understanding of God. And honestly, it could be for dietary issues as well. Like, hey, I'm cutting something out of my routine. And it ends up, you realize you don't need it any longer, right? You're able to kind of kick bad habits.
Well, and a lot of times for Christianity, when the concept of fasting is mentioned, it is in conjunction with prayer. So you'll have fasting and prayer. And the book that I thought about that's kind of taking an Old Testament concept and bringing it into, hey, this is something that we as modern-day Christians could choose to look into if we would like to, is the book called The Daniel Plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the children of Israel were in Babylonian captivity, they were being taken away from their homeland, and Daniel and his wonderful three friends were like, okay, we really don't want to eat this meat that's been sacrificed to idols, etc., etc. But they were like, let us just eat our vegetables and water during this period of time, and we'll show you that we could still retain our strength.
Well, yeah, because that was a big thing culturally at the time, was like, they were big meat eaters, and like, they actually, I think that, I'm trying to remember if it's in that portion of the Bible, but they basically were like, hey, if you don't eat meat, you're not going to be strong. You're not, because they felt like that built up the body. And at the end of that time period, well, do you remember the time period that they were only eating the vegetables? Was it a month, or was it?
I think it was a month.
I want to say it was a month. It's somewhere around 30 to 60 days. I don't remember which one exactly. I want to say 30. But they ended up stronger and more healthy in many regards than the soldiers who were eating these big feasts. And so,
well, and in the Jewish faith community, they do have a lot of laws that govern their day-to-day lives, and a portion of that which comes through from the Old Testament for us is their dietary restrictions. There are just things that you see even Orthodox Jews today are like, okay, I need to only eat certain types of food.
Yeah. Well, and I think this is another one of those things where the church will sometimes teach about it in one way, not realizing that the concept of fasting, it's still an interpersonal connection with God, right? So I knew a friend who, I think I told this story, but basically due to his cultural heritage, but as well as his understanding of biblical scripture, he would not eat meat that was bloody, right? So he had, everything was well done or cooked a certain way. And because it was culturally, like the culture he was raised in, that wasn't allowed anyway. So he wanted to keep that tradition in his family. And I think a lot of times we look at it like, again, very one-sided, very, this is what you have to do. And the idea is to get closer to God. So if that means in your personal life, I want to abstain from certain foods and still eat other foods, it's a choice between you and God, right? So it's not something that someone else can dictate for you on how to do it.
Well, and even now the medical community is recommending the benefits of what's called intermittent fasting. And what that means is that you're not fasting forever and always, but you might have a meal and then you wait a certain amount of time and then you have another, like, hey, this is when and what I'm going to eat. Mm-hmm. Because as far as keeping your body healthy and happy, like, your body, we thrive off of glucose, which is like our blood sugar levels. So it would be very unhealthy for someone to go on an extended fast that was not medically supervised. Like, I would not recommend that.
No. And obviously, because we have doctors who have this level of intelligence and understanding about the human body, if they're asking you not to do something, obviously you should listen to them. And on the contrary, right? If they're also telling you, hey, your body doesn't break down this type of meat or this type of food, you cannot eat it or you get sick, you need to listen to that.
So, I don't know. I just felt like fasting and also looking at diet in professional wrestling was like, this just seems like a really neat idea.
It's a very neat idea, and the truth of the fact is this, and we'll get into it when we come back from break, but like professional wrestling, there is no, and again, I'm speaking from somebody who's just a fan of wrestling. I do not wrestle, so take that with a grain of salt, but like, I don't know that there's a, you have to eat this way. You know, it just really depends personally on you. So that's going to be a fun conversation to have. Is there any more on this side of the conversation before we jump into the break?
I just had to laugh a little bit because literally as we were preparing for this podcast, we had just come home from doing our grocery shopping for the week. I'm like, here we are talking about fasting and our refrigerator is full.
Well, and here's the beautiful thing with that. We made choices that we haven't made in a while of what we buy, right? We were like, okay, for the last probably month or so, we've kind of stepped away from eating more healthy. We've just been kind of eating to survive. So we've been eating a lot more junk food and pleasure foods and things like that. And so we actually took the time and go, hey, let's go ahead, let's get back to what we were doing prior, so in a way it's perfect, right? Because it's the idea that we decided to discipline ourselves and go, okay, we need to eat healthier than what we have been recently.
So, with that, I feel like we are ready for our commercial break, and we will be back with our Wrestling with Faith segment of the podcast.
All right, we'll be right back.
Inspired by hip-hop and the faith culture, the sanctuary in my solitude, the thoughts, feelings, and life lessons of an imperfect Christian by Anthony Giesick is beautifulfeetentertainment.com's work in print. It is a book of poetry, and it's available through iUniverse.com, Amazon.com, beautifulfeetentertainment.com, and the links are also available in our social media and podcast. So please consider The Sanctuary of My Solitude if you're looking for a next great read. Thank you so much.
Welcome back to the Beautiful Feet podcast. But this is actually the Wrestling with Faith portion of the podcast.
Yes, exactly. So, before the commercial break, we were talking about fasting from a biblical perspective and how fasting is usually associated with prayer, but that fasting does not necessarily only include food. It could mean giving up other things and using that time, money, and energy to bring you closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
And that Christianity is not the only religion that practices fasting or periods of fasting. So for this portion of the podcast, we are going to be looking at diet in professional wrestling, and maybe is fasting a portion of that as well?
Okay, so I want to give the biggest disclaimer. I am not a professional wrestler. So if you speak to an actual wrestler or somebody who spends time in the ring, their understanding of diet is going to be vastly different, right? But it is my understanding that because you're using a lot of energy in the ring, because you're using a lot of energy as you wrestle, it really, you need to have obviously a balanced diet, right? You need to eat healthy. But does that look the same for everybody? I don't think that it does, right? Because again, it all comes down to what does your body digest? How well does it digest it? Or the simple fact of how you treat your body. There are some professional wrestlers who, if you just look at them on a surface level, they don't look healthy. Again, so they might look a little more out of shape than somebody like a John Cena or The Rock, who's obviously they are in shape and they are very built because they're lifting up very large men, but. Did you have any questions or anything that we should discuss or go over?
So my thing is tell us more about craft services.
Okay. Laughs. So this is one of those things that depending on where you vessel or depending on what company you vessel for, they'll have some kind of catering, right? So WWE has been known to have high quality catering. Now that doesn't mean all the food is healthy, but basically what they do is they have a section set up that throughout the night the wrestlers can go grab food and just sit there and eat food, right? A lot of times it's probably chicken and beef and things like that. But yeah, it's just there throughout the shows. especially like the pay-per-views, the Raw, SmackDown, things like that, so they could eat. And it, allegedly, there are wrestlers who shall remain nameless because I don't know their names, but they, because they're never booked for TV, they just sit there and eat.
Okay, that's pretty awesome.
And I've heard from interviews of other wrestlers where they go, hey, some people are okay with that. Hey, you still get paid even though you're not wrestling. Now, you don't get paid as much, but you could still make a livable wage. But a lot of people are like, hey, I worked hard to get into this industry so I could wrestle and be one of the best wrestlers. Why would I just sit in catering? Why would I be okay with that? Some people are okay with that. It's similar to like any workplace where it's like, hey, I'm okay with just being mediocre or just sitting back and not really improving at my job, right? But yeah, that's kind of how catering works. Now, a lot, again, based on my understanding, they usually have a large assortment of food. So there will be like different kinds of protein, different kinds of side dishes and starches and things, and you just get to pick what you want.
Well, and weren't you saying that some professional wrestlers now also travel, like, with their own prepared food?
Yes. So, wrestlers like Sheamus from the WWE, he got into the habit of, because he was one of those wrestlers who, like, when he wasn't booked, he was, like, just hanging out and catering. Obviously, when you hang out in catering, you're eating a lot of food, right? You may not even realize it. How many times do you and I hang out and we're like, we don't realize that we've gone through like a bag of chips, a thing of popcorn, and ice cream. We're just in one movie. Imagine doing the same thing, but every night. And like I said, it's not always healthy food. So in order to stay in shape, he started, when he goes home, one day a week, he packs all his food for that next week. And that's part of his travel, right? Like, that's something he always has. And it's food that then he's approved. He, you know, his, I would imagine he has, like, a nutritionist organize this food with him and for him. And then he just takes it wherever he goes. So he has healthy, prepared food, and it's not something that he's getting. Because another thing, you're on the road a lot. So you have the option of, like, hey, we got done with a show, I'm cleaned up, I'm heading to the next place, but I'm hungry. Well, it's going to be late at night, so what's going to be open? Like, fast food, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to go to, like, fast food places. And again, over time, that's going to mess with your health. Any other thoughts, comments?
Well, and I would think that any sort of athlete is going to just naturally have to consume more calories than perhaps the average sedentary, like, hey, I get up and I sit at a desk all day sort of a person.
Well, yeah, because they're burning more calories, right? They're, I would imagine a lot of them are getting to their, you know, their destination. They get to their hotel. They sleep a few hours, wake up. They probably hit the gym because, again, you do have to stay in shape for the most part. They probably hit the gym. Then they go do, if they have press to do, and they do that, and then they go wrestle. So this is one of the reasons, I think, another thing why a lot of wrestlers are starting to carry their own food. They don't really get breaks to eat throughout the day. So, like, again, you're going from one place to the other, you're hungry, you're going to have to stop at somewhere quick. Or you bring your own food and you just eat while someone else is driving.
Well, and if you're bringing your own food, initially you might have to pay more upfront for the cost of the food items. Mm-hmm. But like you said, you're saving money because you're not constantly going through drive-thrus.
Of course. And then not only that, you're not having to pay extra to get back into shape if you fall out of shape, right? Because you're constantly eating like In-N-Out. And you're not wrestling as much if that's what's happening. You're going to end up, your body's going to change. Now, with that being said, speaking of In-N-Out, you know who Kofi Kingston is, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. He's in pretty good shape. Allegedly, don't know how true this is, he actually doesn't work out. Like, he does cardio, and that's usually about it. Mm-hmm. He's not, I mean, obviously, you see, he's not very big. He's not a buff dude. But I also have heard, I don't know how true this is, but he loves In-N-Out. So he goes to In-N-Out whenever he sees one. For those of you who don't know, In-N-Out, originally based in California, it's basically a hamburger place, but it's got really good food, but it's not healthy at all. They have a few, they're based out in California, they have a few in Arizona, they're predominantly on the West Coast. So, yeah. But yeah, he stops there all the time, and he really doesn't work out. He probably does eat healthy, though, besides that In-N-Out. So, maybe. I don't know. I've heard he likes his fast food. So.
Well, and honestly, having fast food every once in a while, like, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Well, but if that is truly what you are living off of, your body is not going to be happy with you.
No. That's how this really connects to the first part of the episode, because, again, with fasting, it's personal, right? Mm-hmm. It's something that you personally choose. Again, there are wrestlers who, like Mick Foley. That dude can be in shape. Like, if you see his early career, you'll see him more in shape. But throughout his career, he's always been big. He's never really been muscular. He's always been a little heavy. But that was his character. That's what he decided to do. There's actually a story that I heard about him where, because everyone travels in, like, groups, right? Nobody drives by themselves. He was traveling with somebody, and his travel partners were like, hey, let's stop and get some food. Because he's cheap, he just went. He was already at the arena. They were getting ready to throw away, like, the big movie-style popcorns, like the big 10-pound. Mm-hmm. He just took it home. And that was his food for the next 2 days.
Aww.
Well, but at this, yeah, so, but, I mean, he probably was able to eat other food. He just didn't want to spend his money. Because, again, especially in those days of wrestling, the company doesn't pay for anything. You pay out of pocket, right? So you hear these wrestlers, and it sounds like they make astronomical amounts of money. A large chunk of that is going to food and travel expenses on the road. Welcome back.
Sorry, I'm just watching our little kitty cat because I don't want her to claw up the couch.
But yeah, so, and this is just my understanding of wrestling diets, but, like, my question always was, what do they do before the show, right? So, like, obviously you have to eat before you wrestle. And I did find an article where they basically said, and I'll put it in the description below, but they basically were like, hey, you eat 2 or 3 hours before your practice or your match, and you would eat, like, you know, a protein, but you would eat smaller portions, right? You're just eating to kind of maintain for the day, mm-hmm. and then you would eat later. But you would eat healthy, especially since you need to use that energy that the food provides. So you wouldn't eat foods that are heavy and that are going to weigh you down, because you need to be agile in 2 hours, right? Another thing, watching a lot of wrestling documentaries and stuff, you'll always see them stretch out, right, before the match. So you'll probably see them eat while they're digesting. They'll be stretching so that, again, when they get in the ring, they don't pull muscles. They're not, you know. So, all in all, it's just taking care of your body. It's taking care of what you expect your body to do when you perform. So
for next week's episode, we're probably just going to pick a little topic that we can have for a one-off, because in August, we are going to be covering the Book of Esther on the Beautiful Feet podcast. And then to dovetail with that, some of the lovely women of wrestling on the Wrestling with Faith podcast.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. For the Wrestling with Faith side of everything, I'm probably going to pick wrestlers that that I either looked up to as a kid or that I was a fan of even now. And just talk about them, talk about where they came from, just do kind of a biography on them. So, any other topics of discussion before we go ahead and close this one out?
No, I feel like you can plug our socials and then pray for us, and that will be another episode of the podcast.
All right, sounds good. So, if you like this podcast, you can feel free to like, share, subscribe, get it out there any way that you can. You can follow us on beautifulfeetentertainment.com. You can also follow us at Beautiful Feet Entertainment on Instagram and Twitter, as well as Beautiful Feet, sorry, as well as Wrestling with Faith on Instagram and Twitter. But yeah, other than that, I'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll be back next week with another episode. So, Father God, we thank you for this podcast, for both of these podcasts. We ask that you would just bless this time, bless our week, help us to make wise choices, and put our trust in you and who you are. We ask that you would strengthen us and be with us, that you would walk with us in all things, and again, just bless us so that we can bless others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys so much, and we'll be back next week with Beautiful Feet and Wrestling with Faith podcast, but have a great week. Thank you for listening to the Beautiful Feet podcast, a partnership of beautifulfeetentertainment.com. Please feel free to follow us on social media at Beautiful Feet Entertainment. Please visit beautifulfeetentertainment.com and do not forget to like, share, and subscribe.